Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands free shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Oh! Wonderful shot by Lennox Lewis!
A right hand by Holyfield.
By Buster Douglas! Look at this! He's knocked Mike Tyson down for the first time in his career!
But unfortunately, it'll never happen.
Frotch punches and punches, and it's over!
I think it's gonna be over.
Aguero in big trouble against the ropes!
I have to say, there seems an element of genuine hate between these two, Ambrose.
For sure. I don't hate the man.
Just imagine if you bought a ticket. Stop it, Frank. You can stop it any time.
Castillo's in trouble. Weak steps in, and the fight is over!
Welcome back to the Legendary Knights podcast after show. I'm your host, Sean, joined, as always, on this after show, the final after show of the season, by my good friend from the USA, Lukey at Lukey Boxing and Pro Box TV, and now Boxing Scene. If you heard the episode last week, you will have heard the news that Lukey is now part of the newly formed Boxing Scene team, which has been keeping him very, very busy. So he's found the time to, of course, come on and help me out with this after show and give you guys a bit of a taste of what we thought about this final episode of the season, the tale of Jack Johnson versus Jim Jeffries. Luke, after that introduction, I'm going to bring you in, of course, just to have your opening introduction, really, to the tale of Jack Johnson and Jim Jeffries.
Yeah, I mean, this is just kind of like one of these fights where if you're a hardcore purist, if you're a historian of the sport and you want to, like, I'll give you an example. I went to see Van Morrison last night with my girlfriend and her friend, and we went into a bar, Mr. Bing's in San Francisco, and you look on the wall and there's Jack Dempsey and there's Jack Johnson, and they're probably doing it to be cool, like it's old and novel. But for me, I walk up to these pictures and I think about what were the times like back then, and my introduction or my starting point for this fight is, I enjoy things where I have to really use my imagination to understand what life was like back then.
Yeah, I love doing these. Johnston loves doing these. That's part of what we would say is the niche here at this network, the BTR Boxing Podcast Network. It's something that we've developed, as you know, over the years, and we love doing it because not only are we using our own imagination to try and understand what it was like, but the way we put the episodes together, of course, with all the research and the quotations and everything from people that were around at the time, it helps that imagination run a little bit wild, in the sense that you kind of start to visualize what this was really like for those individuals that were around at the time, and you kind of try to make them comparisons to a life that you've already lived and what you've seen in your own life as a boxing fan, and you start to think to yourself a little bit like, man, it must have been so hard for those individuals during those periods of times, not only because of the racial element that came into this specific fight, but then also the lack of accessibility around certain things within the sport, and how significant changes have been made over the last century to make the sport better in so many ways. But then also, when I do these episodes, I like I say, I let my imagination run wild a little bit, and I think to myself, what would it have been like for people like Jack Johnson now, and what would it have been like for people like Jim Jeffries now? Well, for a start, Jim Jeffries would have been absolutely ridiculed and taken out of this sport because of his sheer racism. Of course he would. It wouldn't be accepted today, even though it still happens on a daily basis to people all over the world. In terms of the way that they were able to freely say things to the media back then, and it would be publicised the way it was quite unbelievable. And I know Johnston says it in the episode, you know, it absolutely baffles him that people like that were just so stupid and so idiotic and so just disrespectful. But then that, again, was the time that people lived in, and it was the perception people have, it's the understanding of the world that people had growing into it. And of course, hate breeds hate, as we know, and it breeds today in today's society. But even more so, then you're kind of born into this environment and you become a product of that environment. So when you said there in your opening introduction to the show about how it lets you work your imagination with fights like this and times like this, what have you taken away from this particular tale and this era and these two individuals, Jack Johnson and Jim Jeffries?
Well, I'm only going a monologue right here, so I apologize in advance, but I'm going to do a rant. I do think that Jeffries is ignorant, stupid, and racist, but I think that there's ignorant and stupid people that exist currently on social media, and sadly, they get promoted more than probably good content. I would say the times have changed, but yet the ignorance hasn't. The ignorance has just found a new way to be normalized. The racism has found a new way to be normalized, or it's justified in a new way. So though this story seems so different than the modern era, there's a level of normal to it for me. Like, instead of riots happening and people dying, now the riots happen on Twitter. The riots happen on Instagram. The upheaval happens there. I just wanted to say that piece. I forgot what I was actually supposed to say.
I think what you're going down the avenue of here is something that, whilst it might stray away from the actual fight, which we will come back to, guys, I think it's a really valid conversation to have around the point you've made about, whilst the times have changed and things around those times have changed and things have moved on and developed, modern medicine, modern science, society in general, some elements of human nature haven't, and that's the ignorance side of it. And I think in some ways, whilst it was really shocking that things were acceptable back in these times, I also think it's just as bad, if not worse, today, because people now actually have a place to hide behind whilst they're saying these things and essentially doing these things. And whilst I'm not condoning the racist comments of Jim Jeffries in this particular tale, what I will say is at least he had the backbone to stand up and say it out loud, as opposed to hiding behind something. So you see the walls of social media, like you say, Twitter/X or Facebook or Snapchat or even TikTok, and the facilities that people have now to hide behind to be able to say and do these things and create this content which is derogatory or it's aimed at people. And whilst these social media platforms try to stamp it out, they're never going to be able to stamp it out in its entirety, so it will happen. So the point you're making about ignorance not changing is absolutely 100% right. People might have moved on, they might dress differently, they might speak differently, they might act differently now, but that level of emotion within people, it's never changed, it's never gone. Ignorance still exists, racism still exists, and as you rightly said, it just has a different way of being put out there, a different way and a different facility to be able to put it out there. And it is quite shocking that, you know, when we talk about these tales and we sit here and think, oh my God, like, how the bloody hell did people like Jack Johnson live? And, you know, like, no wonder he's a pioneer of his time, because he was able to just brush off the absolute crap that he got from people and individuals and the government and the systems trying to stop him from doing things. And he was able to come out of it with a lot of positivity and a lot of revering by his peers who then followed him, and he set the way for a lot of his peers. But it's like now, the role models like Jack Johnson and the role models like Joe Louis and Muhammad Ali and so on and so forth, you know, they've all gone through their own levels of adversity, whereas I think now with this generation of the sport, and I will have a little bit of a rant about this generation of the sport, I feel the fighters today have it so much more easier, so much more ways in which they can facilitate not taking the fights they need to take, and they can still become world champions, or being able to hide behind a platform and say things to people that they wouldn't necessarily sit there and say in front of that individual's face. And that's the one thing I've taken away from it, is whilst there was a lot of ignorance around certain things in those times of Jack Johnson and Jim Jeffries, like I said, at least they had the backbone and the wherewithal to actually stand up and say something out loud, as opposed to hiding behind something. And that's one of the big changes, really, isn't it, in the past 120 years. Like, I know it gets on my nerves, and I'm pretty sure it gets on yours, doesn't it?
Well, and let me just add to it so we can completely not cover this fight and just talk about what we want to talk about. And there's a level of, like, American black folk heroes where, like, history doesn't remember every pioneer the same. So Jackie Robinson, rightfully so, is a pioneer, and he broke down barriers to be able to play. But we don't always hear about Jack Johnson and all the crap he went through. We don't hear about Joe Louis and what he went through. It's strange how different pioneers who broke through in very difficult racial times, not every story is told with the same level of endearment to the general masses. And I think that's an interesting undertone of this fight as well. Is, to me, Jack Johnson's one of the most heroic figures in a way in American history, with all the adversity he faced unjustly based on how he looked. And I feel like maybe because it happened so long ago, he's just kind of like, oh yeah, he was this historically great fighter, but there's no context given.
Well, let's actually go into a conversation around this fight coming about and the story that me and Johnson presented for the tale of Johnson Jeffries. And one of the big overarching themes about it was, you know, Johnson always wanting to fight at times the very best fighters, and in his pursuit of becoming the recognized world champion, the people he were pursuing at times didn't want to fight him because of the color of his skin. So they drew that color line. So he was the colored world heavyweight champion for a period of time, facing all comers. Jim Jeffries, of course, before this particular fight, was revered in so many circles, and the victories that he had before he made his retirement from the ring don't really sort of get talked about in the way, and they don't sort of present him in a light because they don't get spoken about. And one of the big things for me and Johnston was always, you know, when we do these stories, we also want to cover them on one of our other shows and talk about them in different contexts and different ways. And I know with Jim Jeffries, a lot of people had requested us doing something on him, and we have done. But I think with this episode, all you kind of take away from it is, oh, he ducked Jack Johnson for a period of time. He said he would fight him, then he said he'd never fight him because he's a black man, and then eventually he does fight him. But then there's the fact that he's been out of the ring for 6 years when the fight does happen, and although he does get himself into some considerable shape by all accounts, he's just still not the fighter he once was. So then you get that age-old conversation around, yeah, well, he was a washed-up version of him, or, you know, he wasn't the same fighter he once was, or there's so many cliche sayings that you can throw down that's in this sport about it. So then you'll get historians arguing about the fact that, well, yeah, okay, it was a significant victory because of what it meant at the time, but yeah, then you'll get other historians going, yeah, but look, he wasn't in the ring for 6 years, or, you know, he wasn't the fighter he once was prior to facing Jack Johnson. So people are always trying to wash history or give their own perception of history, and history is usually written by the victors. But I still think in this instance, with this particular fight, you can tell by the media articles, the quotes that we threw into this episode, that despite what Jack Johnson did at that time, he still wasn't given the same respect as what a fighter probably would today, which is a positive thing about today. They'd probably be given much more commendment for that victory today in 2024 than he was in 1910, because people still looked at him and looked at the colour of his skin and thought, oh my God, a black man's got the world heavyweight championship. What the hell are we going to do about it? Whereas now people would be absolutely up in arms in a positive light and people would be celebrating, and you probably wouldn't get the same level of issues that you faced at that time when people were being shot and stabbed and hung, and it's absolutely horrendous. And all the list of incidents that we put out in that episode was quite, to me, when I first read through it doing the show, I was like, this is really shocking. Like, this is absolutely shocking that this happened in the aftermath of a fight, because there's no way in today's world you would see anything like that. Instead, what we see is we see Twitter beef, don't we? We see Facebook beef. That's all we see. We don't see any of this sort of stuff because it doesn't happen. So, Lukey, going back to the fight then, the points really I'd like you to address in response to myself would be the fight with Jim Jeffries. It was 6 years after he'd retired. Does that tarnish the legacy in any way of Jack Johnson? And in terms of how it was perceived following the victory for Jack Johnson, should he really be more celebrated other than just being pardoned in the USA? Should he not be more revered? I know he is in certain areas of the USA, but worldwide, to me, he is an absolute pioneer of this sport. Why shouldn't he be revered more than what he is?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I think the answer is the people that came after him. So the problem with Jack Johnson is Joe Louis was a figure who spoke to a lot of people in his time, and Jack Johnson might have literally fought for people, but Joe Louis carried himself in a way where I think he spoke to a lot of people. And then you had Ali, who was the opposite of Joe Louis. So you have, I think the problem is people are going to gravitate to Ali, Joe Louis, and Mike Tyson in the heavyweight realm, right? Those are three of the most interesting boxers ever. And Jack Johnson was kind of like a ho-hum, I'm going to just beat you up, I might talk a little bit, but he was kind of like the Tim Duncan. I know you probably don't watch NBA basketball, but he was kind of like a very in the middle when you look back at him. And there was a lot of hatred given towards him. Like, you saw a Superman versus Jack Johnson comic book and stuff of this nature. I think the reason he gets skipped was he was a fighter who didn't sell fights. And I think that was also because boxing was more of a profession to him. Like, he viewed boxing as being like a carpenter in a trade. And it was before the sensationalism, though these were big events. I think he viewed himself more as a craftsman and a professional. And what I've learned over time is the guys that don't have a little bit of cartoon character or larger than life persona, history slowly starts to write them out. Like, example, you and me have talked about, why isn't Sandy Sadler remembered more? And I think part of it is because he's not a larger than life comic book character that's summed up in one sentence.
It's a good argument and a good debate to have with many people, and I agree. And I agree because it takes a certain type of character in this sport to illuminate the sport and transcend it in a way which captivates not just the audience of boxing fans, but it captivates casual fans. It captivates people that don't necessarily watch the sport or sport in general to a point where they would watch it, that the world would stop. And obviously that happened, as you know, with the Joe Louis story. We've done a couple of bits on Joe Louis before and talked about certain fights in this Legendary Night series which have basically made the world stop. The same with Muhammad Ali. We've covered absolutely loads. I think we've done definitively everything we can do on Muhammad Ali, and the world stopped when Muhammad Ali fought in those big fights. Same with Mike Tyson, of course. The world stopped when Tyson was fighting, and your casual sports fan or your casual fan in general would absolutely want to tune into people out because of the character. And these were all different polarizing characters in the sport. And the difficulty that we're always going to have trying to sell Jack Johnson to the average boxing fan is that because he wasn't a larger than life character, he wasn't in a time where he could be publicized to the world in a way in which the world publicizes fighters today. It's hard to sell someone like him to people unless you're a hardcore boxing fan, or you're a budding historian, or you're an actual historian who really likes to use your imagination. And that's one thing we've spoke about a lot in this episode, is our imaginations and trying to understand what it was really like for people like him at the time. And it is a hard sell, but I think anybody that likes this sport, anybody that enjoys this sport and wants to research more on this sport, you know, he's a go-to figure. He's a go-to individual. And that's the one thing I will say he has done in his career and his life that still makes people like myself and yourself imagine what it would be like. And I think when we do these shows, and I'm being quite passionate about it now, I feel like the purpose of me doing these shows and putting this stuff out there with yourself and with Johnston and with Jamie, it's like I want to keep this sport alive in whichever way I can. I want to keep the history alive because, you know, we've all done it. We've all, at some point in our lives, we've all studied history, whether it be in junior school, whether it be in senior school, whether it just be using the internet and just casually looking at something on Google and trying to figure out what happened at a certain point in time. We all, at some point in our lives, will embrace history or look at history in a certain way. And I want to continue to make that happen for this sport so that in many, many years to come, people will still look at people like Jack Johnson and Jim Brefferies, and they'll look at this fight and they'll still understand the significance of this fight. And I think that's what's really important to me personally, is to continue to keep it alive in that way. So with that in mind, Luke, when we look back on this tale and we look back at the things that happened within this tale and the significance of the fight in our minds and maybe the average boxing historian's minds, how would you look at this fight yourself and its legacy? And to anybody that listens to the show, that's kind of, you know, you're an average fan and they're an average fan, Luke, what would you sort of say to them in terms of Jack Johnson and Jim Jefferies' saga, the careers, and everything that was around in that time, which is certainly worth getting your head stuck into and being involved in?
I mean, Jefferies can be summed up simply as we always have very embarrassing figures in boxing, and he might be one of the first extremely embarrassing boxers who make it. Like, we have a litany of domestic abuse allegations of our fighters and racism and criminals, and basically people can just point to our sport and look at how awful some individuals are and typecast all of us as that. I think Jeffrey's, his spiritual lineage kind of can be summed up sadly with kind of his ignorance. Johnson, to me, I think you look at as a pioneer, someone who couldn't fight heavyweight in the modern era, but that doesn't take away from the fact that you have to list him as a great heavyweight because he laid the foundation and the groundwork for people to love the sport. He was someone that was able to use elements of brawling, but also start to incorporate what a guy like Ray Robinson did, which is be able to incorporate the boxing of Willie Pep, but the banging of a Jack Dempsey. I think Jack Johnson was one of the first guys to kind of have different gears in boxing. And that gets overlooked because now when you look at it, it looks so different to where boxing is because we're 115 years later. So I think that Jack Johnson is historically very important. Jeffries is a prisoner of the time who did no favors by himself with the way he conducted himself.
It's a good summary, good assessment of both of them, really, and that particular time. And for me, I'll try to keep it as short and sweet as possible for you guys because I don't want to rant on too much, and I like my little passionate rants about the sport and keeping the sport alive, of course, but I want to sort of sum this up and say I enjoyed doing this episode for its historical significance. I enjoyed putting this episode together with Johnston for the fact that I got to learn more about Jim Jeffries when I only knew limited bits of information, so it was a real education for me. And I'll always say to people when we put these shows together, you know, if you enjoy listening back to them and you think, wow, that was a good story, I really enjoyed it, I always say go and buy the literature that's out there, go and buy the books, go and look at what limited footage is available of maybe the fight or maybe Jack Johnson's career or Jim Jeffries. And it is very limited, of course, because we're talking over 115 years ago. So it was really difficult, and something I haven't really touched on as well with this episode, and you can find all the details in the main episode, but the whole film of this particular fight and the difficulty that fighters faced following this particular fight, especially Jack Dempsey. Jack Dempsey was one that notably said he lost so much money on fight films because of the issues where people didn't want generally the public to see these fights because of what they thought it might put onto them in terms of, you know, throwing that violent side of it, throwing that racism element of it, and not wanting human beings and society to see pugilistic gore happening in the ring. And that was one of the things that surprised me a lot, and I didn't know the story of that and the fight films. And I think, like, history in itself is what we get the most out of, is being able to visually see it. I think a lot of us in this day and age are visual learners, and we see what we see is kind of what we take in on board, and we really sort of use that imagination to really understand what things were like. And the fact that it took them a long time to get this footage out there of Johnson and Jeffries, and I think it was good when it finally came out. And I suppose thank God for the beauty of things like YouTube, and whilst it has facilitated absolute idiots to be part of it, it has also provided a platform in which the average boxing fan or the average sports fan can now go onto that site and find things that you probably wouldn't be able to find anywhere else. 20, 30 years ago, you wouldn't have been able to find any of this stuff on Jack Johnson unless, you know, you had somebody within the industry who you was able to get a copy of a film of. And even then, you had to have specific machinery to be able to play that film. So the fact that all this stuff's now available really, really does help the future of the sport and what we could possibly see in another 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years' time. And that is the beauty of the technology and the way things have moved on. But I've taken a lot away from it, Lukey. I've really enjoyed putting the episode together. And I suppose in the last few minutes of the show, really taking away from this actual after show, I suppose it's a good time to have a few minutes just to reflect upon the after show and the season that we've done. Because, of course, there will be a season wrap-up in general with myself and Johnston, but Lukey, this is the last one for another year for the Legendary Knights podcast, and next year it will be slightly different because, of course, there will be someone else in the hot seat on the main show covering these shows. But in general, it's always been a pleasure having you on doing the after show because we sit here and we don't just repeat everything that's been said in the episodes that people have probably already heard. We're talking about all these different elements of what makes these tales interesting to us personally, and a lot of it is more of a personalised conversation around what we think about the times, what we think has had an impact on the sport and how it's affected different people and how your own personal relation to a particular fight has happened. So reflecting upon the 10 episodes that have now been released for season 4 of Legendary Knights, are there any ones in particular, Lukey, that you've enjoyed going back and covering and looking at and obviously having conversations with myself on, and any of them which have stood out in particular to you, which you'd say to the listeners, maybe you should go back and watch these fights, or maybe you should go back and look at the literature that's available on them?
I mean, you're going to hate me for this, but I think Golovkin Canelo is very timely, especially with the alleged rumor that he might be leaving PBC. That fight to me was really the time when Canelo became the best fighter in the modern era. And I think that that episode is just going to get better and better in time, because it's like we went from Floyd to Canelo. And I think that Canelo became the guy when he beat Golovkin in the second fight. And that story to me really made me add context to that journey of the past 8 years. And I think also because we both lived it and covered it. And that really was the start of my professional career at a high level, right? That was like the first time where I was like, not a capital J journalist, but I was in the mix of being there. And for me, that's one that I think is definitely worth revisiting a few times. So listen to it now, wait a couple of years, go back. I think it's going to be an interesting one to revisit.
No, I appreciate the fact that it is giving you that nostalgic feel, and it's able to be relatable in some way, shape or form for yourself. And I'm sure there's many people that we've touched in that respect where people have listened to certain episodes of the season and they've kind of related to it a lot. And I know I put a little video together for the Ben and Eubank episode, and I put that out on social media platforms and on Facebook in particular. Facebook, it really hit the nerve with people in a positive way. And we even had people that used to spar, both Ben and Eubank, sort of commenting on the show and sort of reminiscing in their own rights about their sparring sessions with both Ben and Eubank. So that for me in particular was one where I took a lot away from it, and I'm sure you'll hear me say this again if you are listening to all of our shows, because we will be doing it in a season wrap-up as well. But that was the one for me personally. But I do feel, Lukey, like you've said, I do feel like the Canelo Golovkin episode for this season was a very good shout, because we felt like it was a complete tale. It's pretty obvious now that I think Golovkin is retired, even though he hasn't formally retired. And I think, well, there is some stories left for Canelo to write, but I think this as an overall tale was a good addition to the season, and I'm glad that it kind of resonated with a lot of people. So thank you to everybody that's listened to that show, but thank you to everybody for listening to this after show and all the previous 9 after show episodes. It's always a pleasure just having these general conversations about the episodes and just how it relates to us personally. And it's always a pleasure having yourself on the show, Lukey. You're a very busy individual. You've got a lot of plates that you're spinning at the moment, and people that listen to this show always value your input. And I know there's been a lot of cross-pollination between our shows in the past, and it's really great that people that have listened to us have gone to you, and likewise they've listened to myself with you, and then they've come over and found us. So it's been really great to continue that relationship as well. And I hope everybody listening, I hope you guys have enjoyed the conversations that we've had and the different anecdotes and monologues that we've brought to these episodes. If you have, please do let us know on social media. If you're listening on Spotify, leave a comment below. If you are on Apple, please do leave a rating on the Legendary Knights podcast and a review, because it really, really does help us. Lukey, one final time for this season, I'm going to hand it over to you just to let everybody know now where to find you. You did do it last week, but this is the last one for a little while on our show, so please do let everybody know where is best to find you and some of the work that you're doing that people should be tuning into this year.
You know, instead of doing that, I just want to thank everybody because people will find me where they find me. Being on here, being with my guy Sean, it's like a family environment. And I think a lot of times people throw this word family around, but they don't behave like a family. This whole community, this group of men and women that we do this show with, this after show that I've been brought into, it's not a job. It's not an obligation. This is a family. This is a community that we have built all together. We're all equals. Me and Sean get on here and talk, but it really means a lot. And I'm not going anywhere unless I'm going somewhere, and I can't do nothing about that, okay? And I just want to thank everybody because I hate to break it to you. It's not us doing the research or us talking. It's the people tuning in. It's the people who are driving trucks or doing an accounting job, and they listen to this show, and it means something. That's what gets me going, and that's what makes me want to be a part of this show. So whenever they ring my cellular device, one or two or three that I own, I will be back on this show, and you can count on that.
Look, yeah, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much. And again, thank you to everybody listening. I couldn't have put it better myself, so I'm not even going to add anything more to that. That was brilliant. If you have listened to this show this season, enjoyed it, do the necessaries, let everybody know. Please let us know what your favourite episode was, any particular moments of the after show that you've really enjoyed. And I'll always say it, and I'll say it every single year, if you want the after show to continue, just drop us a note, please, at BTR Boxing Pod or Legend Night Pod on X or BTR Boxing Podcast Network, all over social media. If you're enjoying the shows, please, it really just, it's just a minute out of your time. Just let us know. If it's great, let us know. If it's crap, let us know. Either way, we always love hearing from people and how it does touch people's lives and how it helps them in them day jobs and the 9-to-5s and everything that it helps them with. So please do. It really, really helps us and gives us that peace of mind that we know we're helping somebody somewhere across the world. But that is it for the final after show of this season's Legendary Nights podcast. Thank you so much to Lukey. Thank you so much to everybody. And we will be back next year with another show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.